The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It is kind of hot out there today, I will say that.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's not nearly what we experienced even last week or earlier this summer. So I think we're on a safe path to the fall. I will say that.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
You know, I'm trying to grow some grass right now at my home. So I don't know if I told you about that.
But
you know, I'm waiting for germination, if you will. But now, I've figured this out over the last few years, and I'm starting a little earlier because of the mild temperatures, because I do a little topsoil.
Yeah.
Then I do the seeds.
Yeah.
I got like a little cool seed spreader.
Nice.
From Cotton's Ace Hardware. That's kind of fun to use. Even when I'm not planting grass, I sometimes just go out with those seeds and just spread them around because it's fun. And then I put a little topsoil over. I don't really do that.
Good.
I put a little topsoil over the seeds.
That's way to do it.
Yes. So I got topsoil, seeds, topsoil, watering. Very important.
I've
been watering
important.
At least 10 minutes every night. So I think I'm going to grow some grass. I'm very excited about it.
Let me tell you, Mark, that was my exact deal last night. I was seeding. I have two great neighbors, Joe and Andy, who came down to help me because I'm pretty inept at a lot of things.
No.
And it was topsoil.
Yes.
Seed.
Yes.
Topsoil.
And then
watering.
Flattened, kind of flat. You got to
pound it
yes,
a little
yes.
down. Yeah.
Right. Well, because I've tried this, you know, I actually had to learn the last couple of years because I messed it up. And now I know exactly what I'm doing. And there's nothing more exciting. This will kind of reveal how boring your life is. Okay.
It is.
My life is. But when I see those little sprigs come out of that dirt here next week, you guys will get a text message and a picture.
It'll
be on Twitter. Those little baby sprigs come up and it's like, I just made something grow.
I tell you, this is why people love gardening. By the way, the mic in my world way to do it is to mix up all the soil with the seed in the baby pool.
I like that too.
Yeah.
So
and then see, and then you distribute that as well. So I like all the ingenuity going on here. We call it baby grass.
Here's what I'll tell you, because when I had the topsoil in my wheelbarrow, okay. My
wheel, right.
Which is also new to my life. Let's remember that. The seeds from my spreader. I do love that spreader. Fred, do you have a spreader?
No, I have neighbors.
Man, this thing,
it's like a little gun thing. You just press that thing. It takes batteries out. It replaces the batteries. And it's really fun.
I think I have a grinder.
Yeah, it's sort of like that, but mine's battery operated. Right.
Okay.
It's the
Fred,
same.
I'd be a grinder too.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. Now I forgot what I was going to tell you about.
Oh, sorry.
About
you have a gun and it's battery operated.
Battery operated. Like,
yeah.
There was another point that was going to be, it was going to be a brilliant point about planting and growing my grass, but now I can't remember. But I am excited about it.
I tell you, I was out there this morning, like at 6 a.m., looking to see if any sprigs came up already.
Yeah, I get
it. I think
it
takes a couple of weeks.
It does
take a couple of weeks. Yeah. Hey, they have breaking news from Fox that says that Hunter Biden pleads guilty to all 9 counts. Now, this
doesn't
is interesting
matter.
Because he came in this morning. This was a surprise. They wanted to plead guilty, but then we found out it was this offered plea thing, which essentially gives you some wiggle room and you can say, okay, you kind of got me, but I'm innocent. That's sort of the theory. But now they went back into court. The prosecutors were not happy with this at all because it caught them by surprise. And he went back into court. And now Fox says that he's pleading guilty to all 9 counts. I don't know the nuances here. Here's some good news. Brad Young, our legal analyst, will be here a little bit after 5 o'clock and he'll explain all of this.
Well, he could say that, right? And then his father can just pardon him and we'll be back to square one.
Well, that's what I think eventually. I mean, I would be shocked if that's not what goes down here, even though they're going to keep saying, no, there's no pardon. KJP said this again today. There's going to be a pardon, right?
Yeah.
There's no political risk for Joe Biden.
Exactly. Zero.
Right. Let's do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I remembered what I was going to say.
Oh, what is it?
It was kind of going...
Sprigs?
No, when I spilled some of the seeds into the topsoil, and I thought, well, there's no problem with that. I'll mix those seeds up.
That's right.
And then I just put the soil down, so I kind of doubled up. Sort of what you said Michael did. Yeah, I was getting innovative there.
Yeah,
let me tell
you.
No one ever thought of that before.
No.
I thought I was the first one. Darn it!
Oh, on this day in history, 38 years ago, this does have some recently added music. Thank you, Ethan, because I forgot. 1986, this song won MTV Award for Video of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps for that mention.
Yeah, I know, right? But it is a great song and a great video. And I love, well, I'm a big Dire Straits and Mark Knopfler fan anyway, so it does have that long
intro.
It does,
and it's Sting going.
Oh, I forgot about that, too. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's a long intro. It's
sorry
the radio
about that.
Edit, but that's okay. We did
I
get
wanted
the music
to hear the
nice
MTV
job, Ethan.
Part. Yes. Yeah, we're going to sit here for 10 years before the actual music comes up.
I can do this.
Anyway. Oh,
it still
something.
Didn't start. Oh,
something.
There it is. Okay.
Okay.
This is why I don't use this one as a bump, because you don't get to the crunchy guitar part until like 2 minutes into the song.
But I
right?
wanted the MTV. You understand?
No, of course you did.
Okay.
You had to get that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was 38 years
there
ago.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah. It won MTV Award for Video of the Year. I don't even know if that matters anymore. Ethan, does that sort of thing matter anymore? Videos at all?
What's a video?
Yeah.
I got no.
There's your answer.
I like videos. You know, my daughter and I sometimes, she'll just say, hey, Daddy, let's just go watch music videos. And we go on the YouTube and we just play music videos. We try to find, because she's pretty dialed into a lot of the contemporary stuff because we listen to it and we find fun videos. So there's still really good clever music videos that are being produced.
We were watching, Mark, you and I were watching yesterday some Queen videos, things for songs that I had never even heard of before.
Oh, well, so there's a story about Brian May who apparently had a stroke. Do you know this story?
Yeah.
So here's what he said, by the way. This is Queen's guitarist.
The good news is that I can play guitar after the events of the last few days. And I say this because it was in some doubt because that little health hiccup that I mentioned happened about a week ago, and what they called it was a minor stroke. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I didn't have any control over this arm. So it's a little scary, I have to say. I had the most fantastic care. I didn't want to say anything at the time because I didn't want anything surrounding. You know, I really don't want sympathy. Please don't do that because it will clutter up my inbox. And I hate that. So good news is I'm okay.
Yeah, he's okay now, but Fred and I were pulling, I was trying to pull music, and I didn't want to, you know, kind of pull the traditional Bohemian Rhapsody and everything, so this was, what did they do in the description for the Brian May? They said the...
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't know. They gave him a weird description, but Fred's like, well, I haven't heard that one. I knew this song, but I had forgotten about it, and then you said you had never heard this song.
Oh, you've heard this. And I want it now.
I think I've heard this one. I didn't hear the first one.
Oh, you didn't hear the first one. This one.
Don't stop me.
Or how about this one here?
I used to run to that.
Well, that's a crazy little thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brian May's okay. That's the bottom line. We're okay, you know, with that.
Right.
That's a long story short.
Well,
short story long. Sorry.
Now back to Sue's news.
Yeah. 20 minutes later.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations to Mark, of course, on the birth of his first grandchild, Idris James Reardon, which I think is the most awesome name. Born at what, 3 a.m.?
3 a.m. this morning. She was induced, and they did have to do a C-section because Idris was not cooperating.
Aww.
But everyone's okay, but very, very tired.
That's so sweet. So as a result, we've come up with possible grandpa names for Mark. Now, I have found these on the interwebs, and wow.
Okay.
But you have quite a collection from which to choose. So here we go. Number one.
Was I supposed to play something with this? So you have
well,
to
no, you can
off.
No.
Okay,
but
right.
Only at number one. When it comes to number one, I'll ask for the fanfare.
Right, you count. Okay. Gotcha.
Any of these strike your fancy. Fred, if you like them, Ethan, let me know. Grandpa, the classic. Gramps. Grampy. Poppy. Pop pop. Pawpaw. Here's one that might work. Big Daddy. I'm not sure who uses that, but all right. Pappy. Paps. Gamps. Gumpy.
I don't like any of them.
I think this one is
like
appropriate.
Gumpy.
Grumpy. That's right.
Oh, that one does work.
Yes,
I mean,
it does
fits.
Work. Gus. G-Paw. Popsy.
I like G-Paw. I like
okay,
that.
Write that one down.
Like,
write that one down.
Gus G-P. Come from?
Yeah, it's totally random. Oh, it gets worse. Bump Bump.
Ooh,
which
bump
is a bird. Bubba. Kip Skip. Two that make absolutely no sense. And finally, the number one that I think is perfect for you. Could I please have the fanfare?
Oh, wait, I got to do that again. Because now I see the problem is the audio is being shared by the same. Give me that intro again, Sue.
And finally, the best, I think, so far. The final possible grandfather name for Mark Reardon found on the internet is Dodo.
Ring that damn bell right now.
Dodo. Dodo. Reardon.
I don't think I'm going to accept any of
no.
this. No. Do I really have a choice in this anyway?
Well, isn't it just something? So. I think you could negotiate. Can't you? Well, you don't know yet.
Or is it just whatever the child, the baby can say?
Well, that might be true. Look, I didn't understand, like,
that
when I was
maybe
a kid,
where Kip comes
I don't
in.
Remember all these things when we were younger. I remember grandma and grandpa, and that was it. And then all of a sudden it's pop-pop and all this other stuff, and, like, it gets confusing.
Well,
I don't like any of them.
What about
don't
father,
like any of
what
them.
What about father once removed?
That might work,
well,
Fred.
Well, what kid is going to say that? I still go for Dodo.
Get over
Dodo's
Big
good.
Daddy.
Yeah.
How did that get in there?
You like okay. Big Daddy?
I like Gus. Gus sounds good.
Gus?
All right,
just
this
randomly
is your Big Daddy
Gus.
Mark. I cannot get over that.
Side note, Martin Sheen's grandkids call him Peach, which probably doesn't apply here. Lamborghini, by the way, in baby news, is releasing its first baby stroller. They partnered with a luxury stroller company in the UK for it, and they'll be out next year. The website says it's for parents and grandparents and or babies who want to discover, quote, the exhilarating fusion of luxury fabric and precision engineering. No word on how much it'll cost. Fred.
I think Mark needs to ask his buddy Alex Rosenberger.
Well, if he can get one of those.
With
MasterCard
Inc. If that's he can get
point.
That for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to be inexpensive.
Fred, he's on tomorrow night. Get him set up. Remember, we're going to talk about the car show. That's a
about
great
this
question.
Time tomorrow,
that's probably a $50,000 stroller. But, you know, well worth the investment, if you will.
Sure. But if you're Big Daddy, do you have any choice?
You got to roll with that Lamborghini.
That's right.
Dodo's going to have like the Ford Fiesta, I think, all right, if I'm being honest.
Oh, I love Dodo so much that I laughed out loud when I found it this morning and amused myself to the point of tears. Okay. Ever wished that Fred found this story? Ever wish your name was not your name? Well, your parents may have thought so, too. Now, it occurs nearly 1 in 10 of mothers. Okay, it occurs in nearly 1 in 10 moms, according to a survey from Baby Center. About 6% of parents in the survey went on to legally change their baby's first or last name, which can be a lengthy process. I think Idris James is the best name ever, so I don't think he'll have this problem. 15% of those surveyed said their baby's name was mocked or critiqued, and then they went back to change it. Kylie Jenner changed her baby's name from Wolf to Air.
Good move there.
I don't know. Ask her Dodo. And Amy Schumer changed hers name from Jean Attell to Jean David. I don't know why that's
a big
deal.
That was
deal.
A big improvement. What?
What? Wolf just letting air. You know. Wolf to Air with an E on the end of it. Random fact. Well, all right. First, let me say that a bowling team in Kentucky has set a new world record and raised money for a charity at the same time. Four bowlers rolled 2,032 strikes in 24 hours. I can't get over 80.
Wow.
It's just amazing.
How many?
2,032.
Four
bowlers.
That's pretty good.
In 24 hours. And they stayed up to do it for charity. And finally...
Did they use the little... Bumpers?
I'm assuming not, since they are full-grown men. But, yeah.
I bet for each one, they got on their bellies and they pushed it, you know, elbows out, pushed it forward.
Are you allowed to do
that? I like that visual.
Yeah, it was good.
Is it a strike? It's a strike.
It's true. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Now, I didn't pull this, so you'll just have to go listen to it on your own. In the song High Voltage by AC/DC, the chord progression in the chorus is A-C-D-C.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Look at that.
How about
that's
it? One. And that's
like
it
that.
For Sue's News.
Awesome. There you go. Your random fact for Thursday. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Jane will join us post-Reardon Roundtable in the 4 o'clock hour. We have our friend Paul Coletti, our new friend, Fred, from the BBC, who's in town for a segment on the Midwest and on St. Louis and on the abortion issue. He's going to join us to explain a little bit more about that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Coming up. Hey, don't forget, we got a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Plenty to talk about, including this plea deal from Hunter Biden. We'll get back into that and explain it more in the next hour with our friend Brad Young, 97.1 FM Talk legal analyst with Harris Dahl Fisher and Young. We're going to do a Chiefs preview in about an hour with my friend Alex Gold from 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Super pumped about the NFL season tonight. But first, a visit here with Paul Coletti, who is with the BBC. He is a producer for the NewsHour on the BBC World Service and is in St. Louis. We're going to explain it all. Paul, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you, Mark.
We met via text just a few weeks ago. You reached out via our friend, our mutual friend now, Mark Sutherland, right?
Yeah, Mark is, I believe, British. Now, let me get this right. High Consul here in Missouri? Is that right?
Yeah. He has a fancy title. That's all I know. But he has been a good friend of my show for many years, and he's gotten involved with a lot of different things locally. And every once in a while, he's our go-to guy, all things UK, especially if I just want someone with a cool accent to come on. Because sometimes, I'm not going to lie, Paul, sometimes here in America, we just like hearing your accent.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. I'm going to maybe tone it up a wee bit.
But you have a little different, because I was asking you this, you are from Scotland, right?
Correct. Originally from Scotland, lived in London now for a long time. So I have, decided that it's better to be understood than speak my native.
So if you go back to your, where are you from in Scotland? Not that I would know.
A place called Bridge of Allen near Stirling, the old ancient capital of Scotland, right in the middle, right
between. But when you go, if you go back home to visit family or something, you go back to London, do you find, because this is what happens here with some dialects and, you know, accents, you go back home where you're from and then you get back with your friends and you kind of sound like where you were born originally.
It goes broad. And especially if I'm out with my old school friends who I haven't seen in ages, it really... You know, it can get quite, and if the beers are flowing, I don't drink anymore, but I kind of go with the flow.
We share that in common, Paul Coletti. Well, why are you here in St. Louis? Welcome. Thank you for coming to our city.
And it's great to be here. I'm a producer with NewsHour, which airs on the BBC World Service, which is the BBC's international network. And our program, it's an hour-long, hard international news program. It goes out on about 490 US NPR stations. We're syndicated on them.
But not the damn NPR station here in St. Louis, right?
I believe we don't go out.
What the hell is their problem?
Well, that's why we're here. We're here to show them what we can do. And like a lot of BBC stations, we come to the States a lot. A lot of BBC programs, we come to the States a lot. But I think it's fair to say we give the Midwest a bit of a skip now and again. And so we're here to see things from a different perspective, and that is from the Midwest.
Well, I give you credit for that. And I'm going to say something I'm going to say it sarcastically, but I kind of mean it too. Because you're doing more than the networks here in this country are doing. I was talking to you about this a little bit before the segment. I have long felt, and I'm very serious about this, that why couldn't you have, we used to have news bureaus, they call them. I don't know what they call them overseas. But you could have a news bureau that's in the Midwest, whether it's in St. Louis or in Oklahoma somewhere, maybe down in Kentucky, where you could maybe have a little bit more accurate reporting about the culture and the lifestyle.
You're
because
telling me Fox, CNN, CBS don't have
Fox,
a bureau.
Fox will come to the Midwest, but no, they don't have a bureau. I mean, they may consider Chicago because they have a station there, but they don't have regular reporting. And I think this is the type of issue that is important with all kinds of different topics, like even climate change. I'm not a big climate change guy, Paul, but I will say this. There's this sense that everybody in the Midwest that has a big SUV or a pickup truck is just doing it because they want to burn gasoline. We have a lifestyle here that requires big flatbed trucks and things like that, big families. We do love our cars. There's no doubt about that. But I love the fact that you're here in St. Louis. When you reached out originally, you wanted to talk to me and you tracked down our friend Jane Duker. Jane's with me every Friday on the Reardon Roundtable. We're going to sit down with you on Sunday somewhere here in St. Louis and have a conversation.
You haven't told me where we're
going. We're
going
to have to pick a spot. Jane, I'm going to let Jane kind of pick the spot because she's living down near the hill now, but we will find a great location and just have a conversation. So your interest in Jane and I is to kind of explain the Midwest mentality a little bit.
What does it mean to be a Midwesterner here in the U.S. today, in today's quite divided U.S.? What does it mean? You know, we hear a lot from the coasts. We don't hear so often from this part of the country. So we're going to start with that very broad question, and we'll see where we go.
Yeah, and I have several answers on that. I do think it's an interesting time because things have changed. And, you know, this used to be more what we refer to as a purple state. So we've had Democrat governors over the past, you know, 15, certainly 20 years. We've had Democrats in office that were attorney general in Missouri and other state office holders. But it has really, really turned into, you know, a deep red state
and
politically.
When, and why did that happen? That's what I want to get into.
And we will dazzle you with our answers. And Jane in particular. Look, Jane saw this from the inside because she was chief of staff for Governor Bob Holden, who was a governor in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So there has been quite a transformation. I started, you know, really kind of digging into Missouri politics when I went to Mizzou, which was 1983, so the mid-80s. I covered a lot of Missouri politics, and then I was gone for a little while in the late 90s to 2000s. But it is a fascinating state, and obviously different in the city of St. Louis than it would be just a little ways out. You guys are going to Defiance, which I think is awesome, right?
I can't wait. My first rodeo, and I don't know what I'm going to see there.
I'm not, you know, the funny
I'm
thing,
gonna see bulls.
A lot of us are not real, even if we're into some of the Midwest culture, I'm not a big rodeo guy. I think I've been to maybe one in my entire life, so you're going to match it by going to this one this weekend.
I can't wait, and we're going to interview Billy Bush, who's a bit of a local legend, I hear. Heir to the Anheuser-Busch.
Right, one of the heirs, right. A little bit of an outlier in the family, but that's one of the reasons we like him.
Okay. Listen, what I wanted to ask you is, when people refer to this part of the country as the flyover states, does that bug you?
No, I take it seriously. And from this perspective, it goes back to what I was just saying about the media, because we feel like we are considered, because we kind of are a flyover state, where people don't think about us very much. And our, you know, the important things to maybe someone in Missouri is not going to match up with someone in Vermont or California or Connecticut. But I do think that we appreciate the differences between different parts of the country. So when I use that term flyover state, I usually talk about how the media ignores us. And then we have this thing in this country, you're probably familiar with it. It's a little controversial even right now, the Electoral College. And we feel
270,
so Trump's not
number.
Right. That is the magic number. Trump's not going to come here unless it's a fundraiser. Like, he may campaign here a little, but we're not going to get J.D. Vance and Trump and
not
Kamala.
Even Vance?
He was here for a fundraiser. No, he was here for a fundraiser. But what I'm saying is, will they come into Missouri to do big campaign events? They won't. They're going to go to Ohio. They're going to go to, well, Pennsylvania. They're going to go to Michigan, Wisconsin. So we're a bit of a flyover state because of that notion, because we're deep red right now. But I don't know that people take that the wrong way. They just get concerned that the rest of the country is not paying attention in the media.
You're not getting the attention from Trump's campaign because you're too red. Solution. You need to start encouraging your listeners to vote Democrat.
Yeah, Jane will love that. I don't think my audience will necessarily appreciate that. But one of the things that you'll find, Paul, and you and I were talking about this before we hit the air here, is that, you know, the Missouri Democrat, not all, but there's a different type of Democrat. There's a different type of Republican in Missouri compared to, you know, the way that the Republicans got the majority in Washington wasn't because of all the seats here in Missouri, which are typically deep red anyway, except for two. It was because you had California Republicans in some very blue districts, you know, that were won by Biden. They were able to win in the midterm. So I always have to tell the audience that there are nuances just in different parts of the country to elected officials as well.
I can't wait to explore those nuances with you on Sunday.
We look forward to it. Thank you so much for reaching out. Thanks for stopping by. What have you seen so far in St. Louis? You were down at the Arch, right?
I just came from the Arch to meet you here. I got roasted on those hot streets, but the Arch is very impressive.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Paul thinks it's hot here right now. He's unaware of what real heat is.
I'm from Scotland.
Yeah. Do you even have air conditioning there?
In Scotland, hardly.
Yeah.
Nah, none of the buildings will have it.
Well, you'll survive. We'll pray for your soul, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks to the BBC for coming in and saying hi to us, and we'll see you on Sunday.
It's a pleasure.
I mean, it's a little sticky, but it's not like we usually experience, right, Sue Thomas?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we remember when this was happening, even with the Olympics, the temperatures in the 80s kind of freaked him out in Paris. So different strokes and all, right? 437. All right, so this Hunter Biden story has been very interesting today, and I mentioned this in the last half hour or so. Apparently, he has now pleaded guilty to all 9 charges relating to tax evasion. The day started with a surprise announcement that the son of the president would plead guilty, and then it got a little foggy because then they started talking about this Alford plea deal, and
right.
Brad Young's going to come up here after 5 and explain all of this. But then now it looks like he didn't do the Alford plea. He pleaded guilty. We have some comments from his attorney. Fred tells me they're rather comical considering the topic, but we'll play those before the end of the hour, and then we'll get with Brad in the next hour, and he can explain all of this because it's not really clear exactly what did happen here. I don't know that this changes any kind of, you know, prediction about a potential presidential pardon, which seems very likely, especially
right.
with guilty pleas, but we'll see where that takes us here, and we'll get into that. Plus, a Chiefs preview. The NFL starts tonight. My life dramatically changes for the better tonight. I'm very lucky. I've said this, people. Sue, you know this. My wife is just as big an NFL fan as I am, so this never separates us. This actually brings us together.
Good.
Sports is what brought us together, actually, in the first place, about 21 years ago with an NCAA basketball tournament. But we're huge NFL fans and cannot wait. And Alex Gold with Kansas City 610 Sports Radio is going to give us a preview. We may offer some wagering tips as well. And with my wagering tips, they're extremely helpful. All you have to do is listen to my picks.
And do the opposite.
Exactly.
Yep.
And you're going to cash some tickets and you'll make some money. Jacob Lane is with us. I read this piece that he wrote in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. And this is the type of thing that in a busy news cycle doesn't get attention, but it should get attention. And some of us, by the way, and probably many of you knew that these types of things would happen with COVID relief money. Jacob Lane is a Republican strategist in Danville, Illinois, which I think is east of Champaign, wrote about some of the COVID relief money that's going to really great causes. And Danville will explain. Jacob, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, great, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Help me with the geography just so we know exactly. Is it how far west, or I'm sorry, east of Champaign? That's where you are, right?
Yeah, it's about 30 miles east. We're right on the Indiana border. Unfortunately, if we were 5 miles east, things would be a lot better for us. But we're not.
Well, but you wrote about, you know, again, a lot of us predicted that with all this money being doled out and handed out and gifted to communities and municipalities all throughout the country, how do you keep track of that? And how do you know that the money's actually going to go to things for which it is the stated purpose? And in your community, we now know that it really was something that was a bit of an end run around the intent of these monies, right? So explain what happened with $13 million from the American Rescue Plan.
Yeah, well, and let me be perfectly clear. You know, $13 million in the long scheme of things, with in terms of when the federal government wastes money,
dropping the bucket,
it's a rounding error.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a rounding error. But it's still, nevertheless, it's $13 million that was completely mismanaged. So the city of Danville received $26 million from American Rescue Plan funds. That was the bill that was passed by Congress when Biden took office. Not a single Republican voted for it, and it contained tons of goodies, and in total, $350 billion worth of goodies for states and tribal governments. And what we're seeing across the country, and what what I witnessed firsthand in Danville, is a blatant misuse of these funds. So city leaders thought it would be a great idea to take half of our $26 million. Now, keep in mind, these are funds that are supposed to be used for things like critical infrastructure, responding to the adverse effects of COVID, perhaps bringing people back to work who were affected by the pandemic. No, instead, city leaders in our city said, no, we're going to spend $13 million and build a water park.
Now,
and that's where we are.
So when they do that, this is what I'm curious about, because I followed government enough to know that these are the types of things that happen. But were they honest about where the money was coming from? Did they defend the way that the money was being spent from this particular pool of money? Or did it just kind of, you know, happen and then someone like you uncovers it and starts pointing toward that?
Unfortunately, it just sort of happened. City leaders just, and that's the unfortunate thing about a lot of this money, is that there's no accountability. There is no accountability for how these funds should be spent. And really, city leaders can take it upon themselves to do what they feel is necessary with the money. So in Danville's case, city leaders thought, oh, okay, well, Danville used to have a municipal pool. It had been closed for several years because it needed a large number of repairs. And so they said, well, we're just going to take half of these funds and and we're going to make a new city pool, and we're going to include slides. We're going to charge people more to get in. Oh, and by the way, you know, it's only open 3 months a year. So
I hope you have a damn wave pool, though. If you don't have a wave pool, you should have spent $2 million more.
Or a lazy river.
Oh,
I
my
agree,
God.
Mark.
Are you kidding
There's
me?
Not even a lazy river with it. Can you believe that? Yeah, not even a damn lazy river.
That's a problem.
$13 million in the hole. And that's not the only thing they spent crazy money on. They spent $500,000. I didn't even include that in the piece. But they spent $500,000 to convert our city's tennis center into pickleball courts. Now, I like pickleball. I've played pickleball with friends. It's a great way to bond and everything, but I just don't think that that's a good way to spend $26 million, you know, a cash infusion into your community. And I just like to point out, too, to your listeners that you could use this money to respond to the adverse effects of COVID. Look what COVID did on the American education system. I mean, kids
devastating.
Are grades behind yes. now. Because, and let me tell you something, Danville's education system, I encourage your listeners to look it up. It's not a bed of roses. It's pretty much crap. And, you know, you in the Danville School District, you've got kids that, you know, you've got a 14% proficiency in English, 7% in math, 23% in science. What if we would have taken that money and spent it on our education system? I think benefited, you know.
It's ridiculous. And you pointed out, look, $13 million, you're right, in the whole scheme of things. And let's get to a couple more of these because they're interesting. Phil Murphy in New Jersey, $15 million on efforts to attract the World Cup. Maine used $20 million to modernize fish hatcheries. North Carolina, $5 million for moonshine walking trails. Arizona, $7 million to boost horse racing. New York, $2 million to plant 3,600 trees. But here's the one. Oh, yeah, Broward County, they doled out $140 million to build a luxury hotel. But then you refer in the Wall Street Journal piece to $2 billion earmarked for some things in Connecticut and Rhode Island. Explain this one because this caught my attention.
So, and just keep in mind too that, you know, Congress contains 535 members. Okay, so not a single member found this error before the bill was passed. I just want your listeners to know that. So, you know, 535 eyes on it, and not a single person found this error. But what was included in the bill was $2 billion for non-existent county governments in Connecticut and Rhode Island. So basically, money was earmarked for governments that do not even exist.
Well, where did the money go then?
Well, that's a good question. There really needs to be a follow-up piece to that because this was only uncovered because someone like myself took the time and read through the bill, and they're like, oh, well, you know, wow. You know, where did this money go? I mean, but again, 535 members. And again, I don't want to throw all members under the bus because we know how these bills are written, right? They write them at the 11th hour so the members don't have a chance to read them so they can pass them with all these goodies in it. But the fact that not a single person or the fact that the person that included this didn't take the time to look to see.
Yeah, that's stunning. That really is. It's shameful. And you point this out too in Danville, and I was unaware of this, but you guys lost Quaker Oats and that left a lot of people out of work, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it left over 500 people out of work. And, you know, we're not talking like, you know, 500, you know, minimum wage jobs. I mean, these were good paying jobs. And I'm not going to blame city leaders for that because I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was Illinois. And I do think that was Quaker's easy way out of Illinois because Illinois is just so bad for business these days. We're surrounded by states, you know, those all too well, that are much more, that roll out the welcome mat for businesses and we don't. But, I mean, just think about that. And also, too, Danville's dealt with a historic decline in population recently. When I was a kid, we were around over 40,000 as a population. We're down to under 28,000. So that's a lot of lost tax revenue. And I just don't think a $13 million water park is the answer to get more revenue into city coffers.
Well, I'm going to make a commitment to you, Jacob, here this afternoon. My soon-to-be 10-year-old daughter and I, we're going to make our way to Danville, damn it, and spend some money there and go to that water park next year, even without a wave pool or a lazy river. But thank you so much for highlighting
this.
You
can only come for 3 months, you know, because it's Illinois. So it's
we will plan ahead. But listen, thank you for keeping on top of stuff like this. Now, this used to be, I think you kind of said this without saying it, this used to be the kind of thing that, what's the word I'm looking for? Starts with a J. Oh, yeah. Journalists used to do this work, right? But they don't exist anymore, unfortunately. Jacob, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. That is really unbelievable. I wanted to get this in, though, before the end of the hour, so then Brad doesn't have to listen to it when he is on sort of analyzing this. So Hunter Biden just pleaded guilty. His attorney, Abby Lowell, comes out, and this is what he says.
Hunter decided to enter his plea to protect those he loves from unnecessary hurt and cruel humiliation. This plea prevents that kind of show trial that would have not provided all the facts or served any real point in justice.
All right, let me stop right there. And there's an appropriate response to this, and it's provided by my friend Kenny Wallace. Ready? I mean, come on. Are you
great?
I know lawyers have to say so much BS, and especially defense attorneys, right? Because they're always guilty. But good Lord.
He will now move on with us to the sentencing phase while keeping open the options to raise the many clear issues with this case on appeal. There's no doubt this case was an extreme and unusual one for the government to bring.
No, it wasn't. The only unusual part of it is that the government tried to cut your client a deal earlier, and they were called out for it. And what I think is hilarious is the same damn prosecutor threw the red flags this morning when they were talking about this Alford plea.
Like millions of Americans, Hunter was late in filing and paying his taxes.
No!
Oh, no.
No! No! He didn't pay his taxes! These guys are unbelievable.
It really
unreal.
Is.
Unreal.
Unlike those millions of Americans, he was charged criminally for his failures that occurred
during
the depths of his addiction to drugs and alcohol.
He's a victim.
And which
yeah, he is.
He has rectified by paying his overdue taxes in full with interest and penalties years before he was ever charged. In fact, Hunter actually overpaid his taxes in the year he was charged with tax evasion.
Oh, credit.
Hunter put his family first today. And it was a brave and loving thing for him to do.
I didn't see it that way. And now I've been corrected. It is brave. It's a brave. He's a hero.
Yeah.
Hunter Biden is an American hero, ladies and gentlemen. And don't you forget it. That's what he laid his life down there for everyone in this country moving forward. Abby Lowell's got the easiest gig on the planet. He can go out there and spread his BS, and then Joe Biden's going to pardon his client as soon as he can, probably. It's embarrassing. But there are some nuances to all this, and Brad's going to explain after the top of the hour. A Chiefs preview at 5:25, an audio cut of the day, and more coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Different strokes and all, right? 437. All right, so this Hunter Biden story has been very interesting today, and I mentioned this in the last half hour or so. Apparently, he has now pleaded guilty to all 9 charges relating to tax evasion. The day started with a surprise announcement that the son of the president would plead guilty, and then it got a little foggy because then they started talking about this Alford plea deal,
right.
And Brad Young's going to come up here after 5 and explain all of this. But then now it looks like he didn't do the Alford plea. He pleaded guilty. We have some comments from his attorney. Fred tells me they're rather comical considering the topic, but we'll play those before the end of the hour, and then we'll get with Brad in the next hour, and he can explain all of this, because it's not really clear exactly what did happen here. I don't know that this changes any kind of, you know, prediction about a potential presidential pardon, which seems very likely, especially
right.
with guilty pleas, but we'll see where that takes us here, and we'll get into that. Plus, a Chiefs preview. The NFL starts tonight. My life dramatically changes for the better. Tonight. I'm very lucky. I've said this to people. Sue, you know this. My wife is just as big an NFL fan as I am. So this never separates us. This brings us together.
Good.
Sports is what brought us together actually in the first place about 21 years ago with an NCAA basketball tournament. But we're huge NFL fans and cannot wait. And Alex Gold with Kansas City 610 Sports Radio is going to give us a preview. We may offer some wagering tips as well. And with my wagering tips, they're extremely helpful. All you have to do is listen to my picks.
And do the opposite.
Exactly.
Yep.
And you're going to cash some tickets and you'll make some money. Jacob Lane is with us. I read this piece that he wrote in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. And this is the type of thing that in a busy news cycle doesn't get attention, but it should get attention. And some of us, by the way, and probably many of you knew that these types of things would happen with COVID relief money. Jacob Lane is a Republican strategist in Danville, Illinois, which I think is east of Champaign, wrote about some of the COVID relief money that's going to really great causes. And Danville will explain. Jacob, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, great, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Help me with the geography just so we know exactly. Is it how far east of Champaign? That's where you are, right?
Yeah, it's about 30 miles east. We're right on the Indiana border. Unfortunately, if we were 5 miles east, things would be a lot better for us. But we're not.
Well, but you wrote about, you know, again, a lot of us predicted that with all this money being doled out and handed out and gifted to communities and municipalities all throughout the country, how do you keep track of that? And how do you know that the money's actually going to go to things for which it is the stated purpose? And in your community, we now know that it really was something that was a bit of an end run around the intent of these monies, right? So explain what happened with $13 million from the American Rescue Plan.
Yeah, well, and let me be perfectly clear. You know, $13 million in the long scheme of things with in terms of when the federal government wastes money,
dropping
this
the bucket.
Is a rounding error.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a rounding error. But it's still, nevertheless, it's $13 million that was completely mismanaged. So the city of Danville received $26 million from American Rescue Plan funds. That was the bill that was passed by Congress when Biden took office. Not a single Republican voted for it, and it contained tons of goodies, and in total, $350 billion worth of goodies for states and tribal governments. And what we're seeing across the country, and what what I witnessed firsthand in Danville, is a blatant misuse of these funds. So city leaders thought it would be a great idea to take half of our $26 million. Now, keep in mind, these are funds that are supposed to be used for things like critical infrastructure, responding to the adverse effects of COVID, perhaps bringing people back to work who were affected by the pandemic. No, instead, city leaders in our city said, no, we're going to spend $13 million and build a water park.
Now,
and that's where we are.
So when they do that, this is what I'm curious about, because I follow government enough to know that these are the types of things that happen. But were they honest about where the money was coming from? Did they defend the way that the money was being spent from this particular pool of money? Or did it just kind of, you know, happen and then someone like you uncovers it and starts pointing toward that?
Unfortunately, it just sort of happened. City leaders just, and that's the unfortunate thing about a lot of this money, is that there's no accountability. There is no accountability for how these funds should be spent. And really, city leaders can take it upon themselves to do what they feel is necessary with the money. So in Danville's case, city leaders thought, oh, okay, well, Danville used to have a municipal pool. It had been closed for several years because it needed a large number of repairs. And so they said, well, we're just going to take half of these funds and we're going to make a new city pool, and we're going to include slides. We're going to charge people more to get in. By the way, you know, it's only open 3 months a year. So
I hope you have a damn wave pool, though. If you don't have a wave pool, you should have spent $2 million
more. Or a lazy river.
Oh,
I
my
agree,
God.
Mark.
Are you kidding
There
me?
Not even a lazy river with it. Can you believe that? Yeah, not even a damn lazy river.
That's a problem.
And we're $13 million in the hole. And that's not the only thing they spent crazy money on. They spent $500,000. I didn't even include that in the piece, but they spent $500,000 to convert our city's tennis center into pickleball courts. Now, I like pickleball. I've played pickleball with friends. It's a great way to bond and everything, but I just don't think that that's a good way to spend $26 million, you know, a cash infusion into your community. And I just like to point out, too, to your listeners, that you could use this money to respond to the adverse effects of COVID. Look what COVID did on the American education system. I mean, kids
devastating.
Are grades behind
yes.
now. Because, and let me tell you something, Danville's education system, I encourage your listeners to look it up. It's not a bed of roses. It's pretty much crap. And, you know, you in the Danville School District, you've got kids that, you know, you've got a 14% proficiency in English, 7% in math, 23% in science. What if we would have taken that money and spent it on our education system? I think
well,
we would
I know.
Have benefited. You
it's,
know,
it's ridiculous. And you pointed out, look, $13 million, you're right, in the whole scheme of things. And let's get to a couple more of these because they're interesting. Phil Murphy in New Jersey, $15 million on efforts to attract the World Cup. Maine used $20 million to modernize fish hatcheries. North Carolina, $5 million for moonshine walking trails. Arizona, $7 million to boost horse racing. New York, $2 million to plant 3,600 trees. But here's the one, oh yeah, Broward County, they doled out $140 million to build a luxury hotel. But then you refer in the Wall Street Journal piece to $2 billion earmarked for some things in Connecticut and Rhode Island. Explain this one, because this caught my attention.
So, and just keep in mind too that you know Congress contains 535 members. Okay, so not a single member found this error before the bill was passed. I just want your listeners to know that. So, you know, 535 eyes on it, and not a single person found this error. But what was included in the bill was $2 billion for non-existent county governments in Connecticut and Rhode Island. So basically, money was earmarked for governments that do not even exist.
Well, where did the money go then?
Well, that's a good question. There really needs to be a follow-up piece to that, because this was only uncovered because someone like myself took the time and read through the bill, and they're like, oh, well, you know, wow. You know, where did this money go? I mean, but again, 535 members. And again, I don't want to throw all members under the bus, because we know how these bills are written, right? They write them at the 11th hour, so the members don't have a chance to read them, so they can pass them with all these goodies in it. But the fact that not a single person, or the fact that the person that included this didn't take the time to look to see.
Yeah, that's stunning. That really is. It's shameful. And you point this out too in Danville, and I was unaware of this, but you guys lost Quaker Oats, and that left a lot of people out of work, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it left over 500 people out of work. And, you know, we're not talking like, you know, 500, you know, minimum wage jobs. I mean, these were good paying jobs. And I'm not going to blame city leaders for that, because I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was Illinois. And I do think that was Quaker's easy way out of Illinois, because Illinois is just so bad for business these days. We're surrounded by states, you know this all too well, that are much more, that roll out the welcome mat for businesses, and we don't. But, I mean, just think about that. And also, too, Danville's dealt with a historic decline in population recently. When I was a kid, we were around over 40,000 as a population. We're down to under 28,000. So that's a lot of lost tax revenue. And I just don't think a $13 million water park is the answer to get more revenue into city coffers.
Well, I'm going to make a commitment to you, Jacob, here this afternoon. My soon-to-be 10-year-old daughter and I, we're going to make our way to Danville, damn it, and spend some money there and go to that water park next year, even without a wave pool or a lazy river. But thank you so much for highlighting this.
You can only come for 3 months, you know, because it's Illinois. So it's
we will plan ahead. But listen, thank you for keeping on top of stuff like this. Now, this used to be, I think you kind of said this without saying it, this used to be the kind of thing that, what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with a J. Oh, yeah. Journalists used to do this work, right? But they don't exist anymore, unfortunately. Jacob, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. That is really unbelievable. I wanted to get this in, though, before the end of the hour, so then Brad doesn't have to listen to it when he is on sort of analyzing this. So Hunter Biden just pleaded guilty. His attorney, Abby Lowell, comes out, and this is what he says.
Hunter decided to enter his plea to protect those he loves from unnecessary hurt and cruel humiliation. This plea prevents that kind of show trial that would have not provided all the facts or served any real point in justice.
All right, let me stop right there. And there's an appropriate response to this, and it's provided by my friend Kenny Wallace. Ready? I mean, come on. Are you
great?
I know lawyers have to say so much BS, and especially defense attorneys, right? Because they're always guilty, but good Lord.
He will now move on with us to the sentencing phase while keeping open the options to raise the many clear issues with this case on appeal. There's no doubt this case was an extreme and unusual one for the government to bring.
No, it wasn't. The only unusual part of it is that the government tried to cut your client a deal earlier, and they were called out for it. And what I think is hilarious is the same damn prosecutor threw the red flags this morning when they were talking about this Alford plea.
Like millions of Americans, Hunter was late in filing and paying his taxes.
No! He didn't pay his taxes! These guys are unbelievable.
It really
unreal.
Is.
Unlike those millions of Americans, he was charged criminally for his failures that occurred
during
the depths of his addiction to drugs and alcohol.
He's a victim.
And which,
yeah, he is.
He has rectified by paying his overdue taxes in full with interest and penalties years before he was ever charged. In fact, Hunter actually overpaid his taxes in the year he was charged with tax evasion.
Oh, credit.
Hunter put his family first today. And it was a brave and loving thing for him to do.
I didn't see it that way, and now I've been corrected. It is brave. It's a brave. He's a hero.
Yeah,
Hunter Biden is an American hero, ladies and gentlemen, and don't you forget it. That's what he laid his life down there for everyone in this country moving forward. Abby Lowell's got the easiest gig on the planet. He can go out there and spread his BS, and then Joe Biden's going to pardon his client as soon as he can, probably. It's embarrassing, but there are some nuances to all this, and Brad's going to explain after the top of the hour. A Chiefs preview at 5:25, an audio cut of the day, and more coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.